Papa, we love you so much. Praise you today. We praise this time that we have together to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you, Lord, that we wholeheartedly and abandonedly love you and lay ourselves before you. Here we are, your little kids. What do we know? But knowing you above all things, the desire of the nations, is our heart. Thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for your sweet presence in here today. Thank you for your powerful presence in here today. We just love you, Jesus, so much. And just as we transition here, if you're not feeling well physically, just take a deep breath and just receive this prayer. Jesus, thank you for dying for me and raising for me. Thank you that you just took stripes on your back for me so I may be healed. That's the truth of the cross carried out in the resurrection. Thank you, Jesus. Father, may I appropriate it today by faith, what belongs to me. I don't need to understand everything. Just need to pull into your heart. But Father, if there is anything in the way of that healing, just tell you today that I agree with you. Show me, or move it out and show me, so I may receive your healing power today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Before I ask Rachel to come and share something, last week after worship, we went right into the message. It just flowed so beautifully. So I'm just asking from Think Back to last Friday. I don't need a flood of people, but if there's somebody who has a testimony from First Friday, it was a powerful time because I heard snippets myself. I wasn't able to be there. So is there somebody, Andy, that you know had something? Is it you?
Yes. Oh, okay. Yes, and the other person that was at First Friday, you know who you are, that had something. Wave at me if that's you. On our list, we had there were a couple things on our treasure hunt list, and one of them was a stop sign. And we were kind of near the end of the evening. It didn't seem like we were hitting a lot of people. And we moved from position to position. And there was thought people that would appear at the stop sign down there on Court Street, and they didn't. So we kept walking down, and there were these two women outside of this bar, and they were smoking. And I was just kind of like, oh, let's just go for it. I'm like, hey, do you have any pain in your right ankle? And she's like, no, you know, kind of with this incredulous look on your face, like, why are you asking me this question? And I was like, well, what are you guys doing here? And I'm like, well, we're, you know, out asking people. So I just started literally reading through our list, like, is it this, is it this, is it this? And we hit on one of the things on the list was a necklace.
Did you get a list?
Oh, thank you. So we gathered at the McDonald's, for those of you that don't know, at First Friday. We gathered at McDonald's, we had a time of prayer, and we asked God to list out to us words of knowledge or people that we would encounter that evening, and there would be a different description for them on our list. And so the stop sign was on the list, necklaces was on the list, and dancing, and we're going through, and so I'm going through this list with this woman, and we hit on necklace, and she's like, oh, Yes, I'm wearing a necklace from my grandmother. She gave it to me. It means a lot to me. I'm with it. I have it every day. You know, she's close and part to my heart. And then we hit dancing, and she's like, oh, my friend and I were out here, and we're out tonight dancing. And it comes to reveal that they are totally living in a alternative lifestyle relationally. I know there's kids in here, so are you guys getting my gist there? So not really connecting with the whole Jesus thing. And he's like, are you guys Christians? Yes. Are you Jehovah's Witnesses? No. We're going through that. But we're able to say, look, tonight, on this night, you're on God's heart. And you could tell that that was the furthest thing from their mind. Why they literally came from Cleveland to Canton for that night, because they were seeking out a certain establishment that they were going to go to that evening to celebrate. But here we are, God totally interrupted them to let them know that, hey, he sees you, he sees your situation, he sees your circumstance, and no matter what lifestyle you're in, he loves you, and he wants you to be in relationship with him. And we were able to pray and release that over them, and you could tell it was kind of breaking through some barriers and walls, and they were open to receive, and obviously there was, in the mix of that, some mocking and different things as well. But the ultimate thing was is that the Lord captured their heart, and I knew that when they walked away from that encounter with us, they could not deny that the Lord of heaven had seeked them out that night to let them know, hello, I see you, and I'm pursuing your heart. And so then we prayed that when they would go to that establishment, that they would have the most worst, miserable time so that they could think about what the Lord had deposited on the inside of them. So in that way, we usually don't pray for misery. But in this situation, it's the Lord's heart. Because sometimes he does that. He totally met them, interrupted their world, and began to say, yes. He interrupted their world. Because they had a whole idea of what was going to go on that night. And I don't know if they've encountered Christians yet that would be willing to pray for them instead of saying, if you don't stop, you're going to burn. Which is true. But the Lord's love interrupted them in that moment and said, hey, I want to touch you. I'm seeing you. I see your circumstance. And it was crazy.
That's it? Oh, one more.
Sorry.
I don't even know the name of the shop we went to. What was it called?
Ashley, do you remember what the name of the shop was called?
So we went into a small shop that was privately owned, and the woman had all these different types of art all over the place. And she had as soon as we all walked in, we saw there was the whole world on a canvas wrapped with string, and it said, "The world awaits you." And so I was just drawn in immediately. Who would do something like that? And so we went in, and Ashley and Tiana, you just blessed her.
Yeah, we were talking to her about her shop and about different things, but one of the things that caught my attention was I just heard in my spirit, butterfly, 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 and butterfly was one of the words that we had on the list, and so I looked behind me, and there was one of her string art things of butterfly, and so then I proceeded to ask her, does butterfly mean anything to you? And then she told us this whole story about how her favorite book is about butterflies and caterpillars and life and changing into a butterfly. And so then through that, then I felt like Kim had a word for her as well. So,
well, as she was speaking, she shared some things about her life and some ways in her life that are truly not of the Lord, lifestyles that are truly not of the Lord. And but we continue to bless her in the gifts that God has truly given her, this creativity, this courageousness, this outgoingness that she had. And so after we kept blessing her, and then I just told her, I said, well, you know, the reason I said something about that, the earth there, I said, you know who Jesus is? And she said, yes. Because she had asked us a couple times where we went to church, mm-hmm. even. Mm-hmm. And which was sort of odd in the whole context of everything. But I just said, well, you know, in the word we see where Jesus spoke to his followers. And then after he left, he still spoke to his followers. And I said, I believe he was speaking to me today about you. And I think he wants to challenge you. And she just looked at me and I said, he wants to challenge you to, because he has more for you. And I said, so you have all this courage and all this innovativeness and all this ingenuity and creativity that's truly, those are gifts from God, but he wants you to ask him what he has more for you. I said, so I challenged her to ask him. I said, and then he gave you courage, so please have the courage to hear what he says to you, because I know he'll tell her that she needs to change her lifestyle. In whatever way God does it, that's, you know, at that time, it wasn't, God didn't call us to pray that right there, but to bless her and turn her eyes to heaven and encourage her. So it was, I think it was good, you know, and so we just bless her in that little place over there, and we expect God to move on her and to rattle her world and totally interrupt her world. Totally change it and turn it around, and we think he'll do that. But she received a lot of it because we loved and blessed her. You know,
it's okay. Thank you. You know what comes to me is that since we're regular going downtown, we regularly do this. That it would be really helpful, Andy, if you kept a journal, if you're not, and write some of these things down in it. Maybe you're already doing that. And then we can target and go back and actually ask the Lord to show us these people again or take us to the shop and then pray before we get to the next First Friday and see what God will do. And then we take the next step. That's how you develop relationship. And when they see your face and you go back again and they'll trust you more. And with that in mind, Rachel has something to share.
So in this ministry, Redemption for Life is our anti-human trafficking focus, and we are going out for an outreach this coming Saturday night, and just wanted to invite you all to pray into that. We're going to be going to two clubs and giving out these gift bags. They have makeup items, and thank you for all who donated some of those, and a Father's Love letter, a small coupon from Chick-fil-A that was donated, and we have a card in there that says, you know, we care about you, we'd love to be in touch from Frontline. And we would also think it would complete these bags to have like hand lotion in here that's this size. So we have 60 bags, and if any of you are able to get hand lotions that would be that size and bring them to the church this week, that would be awesome. You can come talk to me after service. 60 bags total. So any, you know, if you want to split it with someone or if you could do that yourself, that would be awesome. And so to be praying into that Saturday night, that we can specifically get those gift bags into the hands of girls that need them, and also that we can connect with those that God has specifically for us, because there's a owner of a hair salon who's a Christian and has been willing to donate free haircuts for girls to come on the following Monday, so Monday the 18th, and so we're going to have coupon cards to give out to those we meet and are able to talk with and invite them to come, and so just be praying that they'd be willing to take that next step to, you know, actually accept something that's offered, and then it would give us an opportunity to share Jesus with them, so be praying into that.
Can I get a free haircut?
I'm sure. I'm sure the offer could be also extended.
It won't take them long.
That'll be a quickie. What's really cool about this is the Lord gave us the idea to not only go into the environment that the girls are in, but we asked him for an idea to draw them out, because our goal is to spend time with them, not just give them bags, and which is all good, and we've done that before. So we'd like to do that and show them something different, show them the goodness of God that way. So we've never done that part before. We've had relationship for a long time in the one club, and the other one, we haven't yet, so that'll be a cold turkey, but we have prayed for a while and driven around and asked God when the timing was, and we felt the timing was right now. So we're not going into names or anything, but I think Rachel's been in touch with those who are involved in Redemption for Life, and And anyway, we'll leave it at that so you can talk to her about that. So bless you, and children are released to go to Frontline Kingdom Land. Kingdom Land. Do we have any other quick announcements? What's that? I don't know why.
Thank you. A lot of life going to Kingdom Land. May that same life be in here. Thank you. Father, we're just your children, but we're your warriors at the same time. You have turned us into warriors despite our flops, our flounders, our failings, our sin. God, I don't understand why you would choose us, but you have. Thank you, Lord, that we can hear from your Holy Spirit today, far beyond the speaker or those that share today, far beyond the worship. We want to hear right from you, Holy Spirit. We want you to be close. We want to worship you. We want to know you. We want to draw into you. We want to love on you. Father, if we're just looking for you loving on us, we've missed part of the equation, Lord. We want to love on you. We want to bring extravagant worship to your throne room and to our hearts where you dwell. Jesus, be lifted up in this time together. Jesus, be glorified. Father, we all need to bow before you to worship and adore you. Adore you, Lord. Father, we adore too many things that aren't you. We get fixed on too many things that aren't you. But today, during this time that we're together, Lord, we can set a higher goal. We can shoot for a higher plateau. We can go up a bit higher on the mountain, Father, and join with Moses in spending that special time with you as you reveal yourself and reveal your plan to us, Father, as we bow before you in humility. Thank you, Jesus. You're all about it today for us. May we be all about it today for you. We're here, God. None of us above another. We're just here as your children, ready to receive in our hearts, Father. Despite the week we've had, if it's been rough, despite the life we've had, if it's been rough, we draw into you for new courage, for new hope, for new strength, for higher ground. Lord, you can take us there. This morning, even during this time, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, a lot of churches, they say, and all the people said. Oh, that kind of works here too. How about that? Last time we talked about encounter. And the testimonies are starting to come in about encounter. Person from Texas gave a testimony that happened to be here that week about the impact of the message on her. Some others in this fellowship have let me know about encounters that they're having. So I'm not going to just forget about that message. And it kind of flows into this message, so you kind of get a double dose of the Holy Ghost in this message about encounter. Because the more we draw in, the better off we are, right? He's wanting to draw in with us. He's wanting to spend time with us. It's up to us to take the step forward to spend time with him. He's more than willing. He'll take us into his arms. He'll take us to the banqueting table. He'll give us a feast of fellowship with him. I'm not going to give the quote yet today because I want to read some passages to you and kind of reignite the fire, maybe for this book that I'm going to read out of in the Bible, and maybe overall for the topic that you're going to discover in these verses. I'm not even going to tell you where I'm reading from. It'll be fun for you to figure it out. You know, a little mystery. Doesn't hurt anything. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. I could say that really mean, but I won't. As in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me, they tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world also is firmly established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the peoples righteously. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in all its fullness. Let the field be joyful in all that is in it. Then all the trees of the woods will rejoice before the Lord. For he is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of the isles be glad. Clouds and darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. A fire goes before him and burns up his enemies round about. His lightnings light the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord, of the whole earth, the heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. Let all be put to shame who serve carved images, who boast of idols. Worship him, all you gods. Zion hears and is glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments, O Lord. For you, Lord, are most high above all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. You who love the Lord, hate evil. He preserves the souls of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him the victory. The Lord has made known his salvation. His righteousness he has revealed in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his mercy and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in some song. Rejoice and sing praises. Sing to the Lord with the harp and the sound of the psalm, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Shout joyfully before the Lord, the King. Let the sea roar in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. With righteousness he shall judge the world and the peoples with equity. The Lord reigns, let the peoples tremble. He dwells between the cherubim. Let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. The king's strength also loves justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy. Moses and Aaron were among his priests, and Samuel was among those who called upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. He spoke to them in a cloudy pillar. They kept his testimonies and the ordinance he gave them. You answered them, O Lord God. You were to them God who forgives a name. It's a name. God who forgives one of his 700 names and titles. Though you took vengeance on their deeds, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill. For the Lord our God is holy. For the Lord our God is holy. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures all generations. I will sing of mercy and justice to you, O Lord. I will sing praises. I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. The one who has a haughty look and a proud heart, him I will not endure. My eyes shall be on the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He who works deceit shall not dwell within my house. He who tells lies shall not continue in my presence. Early I will destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all evildoers from the city of the Lord. That was fun. I will extol you, O my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness, and you and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power and make known to the sons of men his mighty deeds, mighty acts, and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open their hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever. I will sing a new song to you, O God, on a harp of 10 strings. I will sing praises to you. Guitars only have 6. We missed it. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. It is pleasant, and praise is beautiful. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked down to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises on the harp. To our God, who covers the heavens with clouds, who prepares rain for the earth, who make... How many strings on a harp? 47. 10, 47. Who covers the heavens with clouds, who prepares rain for the earth, who makes grass to grow on the mountains. He gives to the beast its food and to the young ravens that cry. He does not delight in the strength of the horse. He takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him and those who hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise our God, O Zion. For he has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed your children within you. He makes peace in your borders and fills you with the finest wheat, whole grain. He sends out his command to the earth. His word runs gluten-free. I guess maybe those don't go together, I don't know. His word runs very swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes. He casts out his hail like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sends out his words and melts them. He causes his wind to blow, and the waters flow. He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and his judgments to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any nation. And as for his judgments, they have not known them. praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord from the heavens, praise him in the heights, praise him all his angels, praise him all his hosts, praise him sun and moon, praise him all you stars of light, praise him you heavens of heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all the depths, fire, hail, snow, clouds, stormy wind, fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, flying fowl, flying fowl. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, all included. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven, and he has exalted the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, of the children of Israel. A people is near to him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song, and his praise in the assembly of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in their maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name with the dance. Let them sing praises to him with the timbrel and harp. Harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. This honor have all his saints. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Woo! Jesus. It took so long, I have to restart my... There we go. Keyboard. All right. Okay, so we'll put up the quote for today. If we allow the Lord to re-energize our worship privately and corporately, it will be the launching pad to release worship to the world. Is worship supposed to stay in here? Is worship supposed to go from here out there? Are we only to worship in here? When we come on Sunday, that's our main worship time with the Lord personally. If we end up doing that, will we launch as far into the world? Boy, you're listening today. I was kind of moving along. All right. Private worship flows into corporate worship, and we can worship together. Isn't that true? If we're just kind of waiting for Sundays, bringing in all our burdens, I wrote on this week, you probably read some of that, bring in all our burdens from the week and say, oh, now I can come to worship and something will happen. Actually, you'll do a whole lot better. I mean, there are some things released here when you come, whether you've worshiped or not during the week. God's that gracious. But I'm telling you, it'll be a whole lot more effective if during the week we're worshiping the Lord in whatever fashion. Each of us is going to have a different way of doing that. Some of you will soak to worship music. Some of you will worship in your car so that people driving beside you think you're a nutball. That's cool. I like doing that. I need to do that more. I need to do that more because of this message speaking to me today. Here I am coming to church singing out loud in my car because I haven't done that lately. Now, is it the rote thing? Oh, I need to do that. That'll please God. No, it should be my heart expression. Who does it help? Me. Who does it glorify? God. Why wouldn't I want to do it more? When I pick up a guitar at home, I start with some songs, maybe that I just want to play. Just worship Him with songs that just come to my heart, I want to play. Some of them are written down on paper, but I can't stay there anymore. It just goes into prophetic songs. And you heard it this morning. Mike exemplified it for us all. It's a new song. It should be a new song coming from here, but a new song with us in our private worship as well. Everywhere we go, you can be singing while you're in a line. It's better than complaining that the line is long. And the thing is, some people are able now, they're bold enough now that they're carrying a song and they start singing, they don't even know they're singing. They're just enjoying it, and someone, you know, says, "Are you singing?" I've had people say, "Are you whistling?" Nobody whistles anymore. Nobody. Nobody whistles in public anymore. Everybody's on their cell phone. I don't know. You can't do two things at once. Whistle and be on your cell phone. Very few people hum anymore. It used to be common that people would just hum a song. You know? These psalms have a beat to them, have a rhythm to them, built in. Built in. So I was listening to a teaching by Julie Meyer. And she says that when you sing, when you worship, when you let it come out of your mouth, you say, "Well, I'm not a singer." It's not the issue. When you let it come out of your mouth, whatever form it takes, whatever form it is, but I can't carry a tune in a bucket. Let it come out of your mouth. Let it come out of your mouth, and you will increase. Yeah. Guaranteed. Because all these people in the Old Testament, they learned to sing one way or another. Because there was a lot of singing and praise and worship going on to a mighty God when the people were in a good place. You notice that in the Psalms here, he mixed in judgment and worship. Isn't that amazing? Worship me. I'm the one that will judge the people. Oh. Worship me. And if you're found wanting, look out. Wow. Isn't that incredible? He puts those two together. I mean, you know, the depth of that is too far for me. Why he would put those two together. It's in most of those passages that I read. But it's interesting, isn't it? He wants us to tremble. That's the point. Tremble, whether we're in a good place with him or we're not in a good place with him. He wants us to tremble at his word, tremble in his presence, tremble in worship, tremble in praise. and be joyful. All at the same time. Be sober, but be joyful. Tremble in his praise, tremble in his presence. Tremble when we worship him. And enjoy it. Enjoy it all. Enjoy the process as he searches our hearts. Because he will in worship, won't he? The people that lead worship here are all challenged with jealousy. Am I a good enough worship leader? Am I as good as so-and-so? The enemy hits them. Sometimes the hour before they get up to lead worship, or anyone on the worship team, when they get up to lead worship with the worship leader, they get hit many times the hour before. Why should we care about that? We're just in the seats. Because they're at the front line. They're at the front. The worshipers were put in the front, remember? The trumpets and so on, singers. They were put in front of the army. What does that say to us? That's the point of attack. And so they're going to get attacked because they're the point of the attack. And any of us that join with them, you'll start to sense, wow, I need to support what this team is offering to us. You'll see that if you worship privately before you get here. I mean, I'm not talking about, you know, on the drive here only. I'm talking about during the week as you face your trials and tribulations and your difficulties and your burdens, you worship within that. Press through that. And it'll be a whole lot different when you get here because you'll get here to support the worship team as well as to receive from God, to worship God. But you'll support these people that are on the front lines that morning. It's like we want the heavens broken open. They're the front line of attack. They're at the front of the army. I'm calling you to support those that are leading us into the battle, into the kicking the enemy in the teeth. The worshipers are doing that. And I'm hoping that each of them will allow their lives to be purified even more and more and more. The jealousies and things like that will pass from them. So when someone asks me, and I've said this before, who's your favorite worship leader? You know, out of front line. Come on, tell me. Who's your favorite worship leader out of the 8 worship leaders at front line? Whoever's leading worship. That's my favorite. That morning. That time of worship. Because they need every one of our support. You want to love your brother as you love yourself? Support your worship team members. Because they're at the point of attack. Come back. So this morning I thought I'd let you hear from a couple of those worship leaders. I'd love to have all the worship team members come up and share, but we'd be here till 4 or 5 o'clock. Would that be okay? Some of you have some things to do this afternoon? Well, I mean, you know, after all this, you know, worship, you know, we could just continue it. It'd be awesome. Okay, so If Kim could come and share what I asked her to share, which I don't even have the questions, so she's free now. I forgot what I gave her.
I'm honored to even say anything. My opinion really doesn't matter, but what Pastor Bill had asked was, what is my greatest joy in worship? And obviously, my first greatest joy is being able to come into his presence. And anytime it really hits me, I'm going to cry, I'm sorry. Anytime it really hits me that he will actually receive my worship, you know, that in itself is a miracle, that he will even hear my voice, that he will even want to hear me. But he says that he's seeking out the worshipers. He seeks out those who worship him in spirit and truth. He's looking for me. He's looking for you. He's looking for you, and he's looking for you, especially in that place of worship, especially in that place where your heart's, you know, coming before him. So my greatest joy is that I am allowed to do that. But then immediately after that, in the place of being somebody who's on the worship team, is for everyone else to come with me. That's the joy. The joy is, and then you just go, you know, then you just go, then we all go. So my greatest joy is when everybody finds out that and realizes in that moment, because we do bring burdens in here. We should be worshiping all week. And when you do that, the stuff, there's no room for the junk. If you're filled with worship, the junk just goes away. And I'm not here to say I don't have any junk, but I'm saying I have less junk than I would have if I wasn't worshiping as much as I can. I need to worship more. We all do. I mean, there's all the time is what we're supposed to do. So in answering that, my joy is when we as a body go to that place of where we all are focused on him. We all are looking up. We don't know who's beside us or who's around us. We're not paying attention to what the children are. And when the children see that, as you saw this morning, I was just seeing it this morning a bit, when there was a period of silence, even the children felt that. Even if they didn't understand it, they felt that there's something of awe here. There's something that even if we don't understand it, there's a place to not break that silence in worship, that, you know, that part. As far as having challenges in worship and leading worship, every Sunday that I've been here, and I'm sure every other Sunday, if it's not spoken out in a prayer prior to preparing or after preparing before the service, on all of our hearts is that everybody that comes in that door will enter in. We are praying over you when you're out there. We're praying over you when you're in your houses, drying your hair, getting your kids dressed, that God would come on you, that you would come to this place and just want to run in and worship him. It's what we were created for. Not that we all don't struggle with that, but that's, if we step into that, when a duck is a duck is happy. When a worshiper worships, that's where, you know, who we are really comes alive. So then he also asked, as far as to maybe give any encouragement. For me, the encouragement is, and I really got encouragement from what you said about Josiah said at one point, that my face was really red when I was leading. And your answer to him was, she's worshiping really hard. You know, she's just giving it her all. And in those times when myself and anybody else that's up there, when you see that we don't even know that you're out there, we do. We have the responsibility to lead, but that has been put back in a place to where now we are going after him and him alone. And in that, it doesn't matter. At that point, it doesn't matter anymore who's around me or who's watching. And to encourage you to worship him in a way that it doesn't matter who's beside you. Don't wait for somebody else to show you where the door is. Because the door to heaven may be narrow,
But it is wide when we are worshiping. There's room for all of us to walk in side by side. We don't have to go in a line. We don't have to wait for the one in front of us to feel God's move, to feel God's power, to feel his presence. We don't have to wait for somebody beside us. We don't have to wait for someone else to fall on their knees, you know, in that place. In that time, we can walk in side by side. And we could go, and we could run, and we could run forward. And when that worship happens, and we lift him up, I just envision, you know, he's on his throne, and he has these robes. And I just envision these robes that can cover the whole earth. And the higher that we lift him, the longer those robes can cover. And then we push back the enemy when we do that. We push him back. He can't come in that place. He can't. You know, there is no darkness there. There's light when we worship him. So to encourage you, don't wait for anybody else to go there first. You're allowed to feel that you're first, because you're not, because there's somebody else coming too. But if you're not recognizing what somebody else is doing, that's where you should be, is you know, not waiting, just going. You know, one of the worship leaders that a lot of us use their songs said, and I listened to her, I don't listen to a lot of them, but I just happened to listen to something because I listened to a song, and she said, we need to all lead ourselves into worship. We need to lead ourselves into worship. You know, so I pray for the day that we come in here and we don't need a team anymore. that we all just come in worshiping. And because you know when that song rises, you've all felt it when we've been in that place where we are just all lifting him up and it is rising and we're there. And everything that the Spirit gives you to bring out of your mouth, it just glorifies him. And you don't want to leave that place. And that's what we're offered by him. He's seeking us to do that. And we're also offered to stay in that place always. So that's my encouragement.
Thank you. Michael. Fresh off the worship stage.
Well, so I guess I'll start with the greatest challenge. Might be a couple in there. I think for me, you know, coming into a morning, I mean, Pastor Bill kind of vocalized it, but there's this aspect of faith. You know, it's really like with anything else, but you're like, okay, I want to go here, Lord, but I'm over here. So I'm not there yet. How do I get there? you know, I may not feel it in that moment, or I have to feel like I have to work something up, but it really is just stepping out in faith. It's like, Lord, whatever circumstances have happened, or sometimes there's technical issues and things not working, and it seems like when it rains, it pours, you know? It's not just always one thing. It could be several things. It's like, okay, I didn't exactly plan this. I sometimes like to plan ahead, and the Lord has challenged me in that area just overall in general. Like, you know, sometimes things don't go as you planned, but that's where you need to rely on my presence moment by moment. And he's just been really driving that home in recent years. And so, and that really applies to worship. So, you know, I will kind of have a song list, or I'll have ideas or thoughts about, you know, what's on my heart, and then I try to take a position of really submitting it to Holy Spirit, because sometimes it just changes anyway, but it's really just being open, you know, really opening up, having an open heart, you know, because if my heart's not fully open, then it's hard. I know some of the struggles at times have been, you know, where if I have my mind set on something, my heart's not fully open or engaged, and it ends up not going the direction that I hoped for, I guess, if you want to say, if that makes sense. So, you know, really just trying to come before God with an open heart. And with that, stepping out in faith, you know, saying, okay, God, I'm going to trust you. I don't understand what this is going to look like. For example, you know, there have been times where God will put a song at the last second on my mind or on my heart, and it was totally not in the cards. It was not what I wanted to do or thought of. It's like, oh, really? That song? And whatever the song is. And the Lord's like, yeah, this is on my heart for this morning. And I know God's very intentional, you know, so God doesn't just flippantly speak something like that. Like, I know when he's saying, this is what I want, this is what's on my heart. And if I'm not feeling it or if I'm not even wanting to, I really have to take a step back and it's funny, take a step back, but then step into it. That makes sense. Take a step back, meaning, what are you saying, Lord? Let me hear your voice, and then step into what you're saying to do. And so sometimes that's a struggle. And then, of course, on top of that, like Pastor Bill says, you're dealing with a lot of different things on your mind, and you're having to lay those aside. You really have to be, it takes focus. It takes just, letting your fears go, letting your thoughts, and just say, okay, I'm going to focus on you, God. I'm just going to lay those thoughts aside and just keep my eyes on you. And you're like, well, how do I do that? Well, it really just comes down to whatever's on your mind, whatever's kind of consuming you in that moment. You just kind of shift it. You just sort of put it away or just give it to God. See, you have to like see yourself giving it to God. And then your mind just starts to kind of look upwards. You start to focus upwards and then you realize you're seated in heavenly places with Christ. So then I guess my greatest joy would be kind of twofold. It's hard to say a specific thing, but I would say, when I'm encountering God, for myself, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It really just comes down to that. And it's like when I know I've reached that place of just, I'm just loving you, Lord. I'm feeling your presence. There's just this two-way back and forth exchange going on in the spirit. And it's just like, this is amazing. This is like what I was created to do. And then once you've reached that place, however the Holy Spirit leads, because sometimes it's not always easy hearing his voice. Like we may be going in worship and God takes a totally different direction than what you expected, but it's being open and sensitive to his spirit. And when you're so close and tethered to the Lord, you're able to then take a quick shift this way. But there's always, it's not like God's random. I mean, there's always purpose in it. You know, he's flowing, he's moving, he's kind of weaving it all together. And for me, I have to realize, God, you are doing something bigger than I can even see or imagine. And so I have to remind myself of that, which helps. But the other thing is, once I've reached that encounter with God, then it's just such a joy that it just kind of overflows into what he's doing corporately and, seeing and knowing that others are having that same encounter. Like that, it's a joy to know that, someone is experiencing that same thing that I'm experiencing, and we get to do it together. it also helps to have an amazing wife who encourages me all the time and challenges me and spurs me on in worship when she's digging into the word, like this week, just, feasting on the word. And it's like, oh boy, am I doing that? Not that I'm, Like I have to realize, I need to really spend time in the word. What does King David say in the Psalms? What is he expressing to the Lord? We have an example. We have Jesus is the living word. He himself expressed his heart to the Father. So there's really no excuse to just, to not go to the word and not give yourself wholeheartedly, to him. And that makes sense.
Thank you. Thank you. So back to Julie Meyer. She has this teaching that it's like having the helmet on and that our whole mind, all our thoughts and so on are activated in worship. Our whole mind, both sides, they have that left brain, right brain stuff. And when you're singing, your whole, all your lobes are working. You're worshiping. So think about negative thoughts trying to get in through the helmet. They can't. Think about all the burdens of the week. They can't get in while we're worshiping. And if it's expressed out of your mouth, across your lips, read more of the Psalms and you'll see that it's about that. Out of our lips. Shouting, singing loudly, things like that. Things that we may have to take a risk in. Every worship leader takes a risk. They're like Peter stepping off the end of the boat to walk into water. And we can support that And then we benefit. Because like Mike was saying, we do it together. We do it together. And it has a kind of a corporate anointing to it that we receive from as well as add to when we're full participants in it. So is worship, I know what you're going to answer here, but is worship just limited to singing and instruments and so on? Kim mentioned waiting for the day when we won't even need those. We just come in, we just start worshiping the Lord. What would be some other things we would do? Well, of course, we'd give prophetic words. We'd give words of knowledge. That's all worship. When we go out into the marketplace, into people's lives, and we have a chance to share a testimony or the gospel with someone, that's worship to God. When we offer our finances to Him. Wow, here come the worshipers. When we offer our finances to Him, that's worship to God. You know, when you, we don't pass the plate here for offerings, so you have to find that little box on the wall. Just that alone, the fact that it isn't in your face as it goes around the congregation, but you have to actually worship God and go to a place and put it in the box. Every time you do that, it's worship. If you're, battling sin, battling temptations, and you're battling and you're winning, that's worship. You know, if you're battling negativity and accusations and blame against other people, and you win, that's worship. All those things are considered worship to God. Anything that we do that brings honor to His name, anything that we do that pleases Him, that blesses Him, it's worship. So some of us that may have grown up with the mindset, well, it's worship when the worship team starts, I think that's been solved pretty much in this body. You know, it doesn't need to be hammered, but sometimes we forget. Sometimes we forget that, okay, well, man, everybody sings here, but I don't. And you can get into a feeling that maybe you're not a worshiper. No, you are a worshiper if you're after God's heart. If you're after the heart of Jesus, you're a worshiper. If you're really after being a radical believer in Jesus Christ, you're a worshiper. So with that in mind, one of the things that we do to worship is to hear a prophetic word. And so I have a new friend here today, Jim Monahan, and he's going to, he came up earlier and we chatted for a minute and he has a prophetic word for us. This is your time, Jim. So you're supposed to cheer for the new guy, you know.
And, you know, I'm sitting here thinking about what the Lord put on my heart. And I'm thinking, God, where's it going? And really, I should know by now. You know, God knows what He's doing. I don't. He knows. But He put on my heart that I'm back to praying. And I tell you truthfully, this group here, wow. I mean, I yearn for this type of worship. I don't see this everywhere. I go to different places and visit. I don't see this. The people just come in and just want to just give praise to God. And it's almost, I guess the word would say, you're disconnected from the team, but you're with them. I think you can understand what I'm saying. You're not, you know, coming in and saying, okay, take me into God's presence. But you're coming in and say, Lord, I want to be in Your presence, and this team will help me. So you're blessed. You're blessed. God is here. So during the night praying, there's a scripture in Psalm 42 in the Amplified Bible. As the deer plant longingly for the water brook, so my soul plant longingly for you, O God. And kind of really tied into all of this, get after him. You'll never see a deer go to a brook and take a couple laps out of the water and just continue on. Not unless they can sense the enemy around somewhere. They will stand there and drink until they are satisfied. Oh, thank you, Lord. And the word of the Holy Spirit, they get into a place. Yes, there is worship. It's very important. But you know, truthfully, sometimes you don't really feel like it. And you're thinking, Lord, what's going on? And you can almost say, wow, there's really no hassle. Things are going okay. Prayers are being answered and everything else. What's going on? And God's saying, come to the water. Drink. If God poured out everything for you, everything, let's get really about it, real about it. He poured out his blood also. How much more should we go after him and start drinking? Just drink and drink and drink. Something the pastor said, and I can't quite remember what it is, but in this day, God wants to fill the wineskins with new wine. Really, he wants to fill it with more and more and more of him. Drink of him, not until you be satisfied, in a sense. Put it this way. Drink until the Holy Spirit says, okay. And sure, the worship team does the same thing. They have songs lined up, but then there's a point, you know, sometimes the Holy Spirit says, no, keep going. And then there's a time the Holy Spirit says, okay, after this line, stop. All right. So I'm encouraging you this morning. Go after God, drink of his presence. You know, lay everything aside. It's not worth it, hanging on to it. And just share this one little thing, a testimony of me. This past June 27 was my birthday. And I'll be honest with you. I've been praying, reading the word, doing all the things that God wanted to do and everything. And I was sitting at my desk. And I said, Lord, it was my birthday. You know, my kids will probably text me. Wow. You know, I like to hear their voice. Maybe my sister will send me a card. She usually does. And it's just me and my dog here at the house. You know, nobody else. And God, just, I don't know. At that moment, I was sitting there, and just like there was a supernatural chair sitting right here, Jesus came down. And he sat there. He said, Jim, happy birthday. Oh, man, I mean, someone could have said, here's $1 million. I said, no, I don't want it. I want this. I want this. And that only come by when God sees your heart and he said, man, they want me. They desire me. They worship me. You'll have those opportunity times where he'll just show up. And you'll say, how you doing? And he said, I love you.
Thank you, Jim. Amen. So the prophetic word, drink, 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 keep drinking. And the other thing that he said, have a Jesus birthday party before you have that other birthday party. Wow, this is fun. We had a strategy meeting this past week with some leaders in Canton. And it was good to hear the different perspectives that they had on worship. It brought a lot of good things to the table. Some of the things that I spoke on in the group was discipling in worship. That we have 8 worship leaders here, and they've been discipled by the Lord and discipled by each other in order to be able to go to a higher place and leading worship. Worship team members as well included with that, of course. So that was something that some of them had not maybe thought of. I don't know. I also mentioned about worship leaders. It's not by talent, worship members of the worship team, not by talent, but they should exhibit Christ-like character and kingdom lifestyle before they're, going to be the ones at the front, the point, the front of the front line, point in order to lead the charge, lead the battle. So those are things that I think of when we have people on the worship stage. And sometimes, if a person's struggling, then we will ask them to receive rather than lead. And so that happens because it's so important for the ones leading the charge against the enemy that we look at their lifestyle, we look at their Christ-like character and help them with that. Doesn't mean they can't ever return to being part of the worship team, but it may be a season they need to sit, receive like so many receive. And then, go through a process with that. Also, it was emphasized in the whole group that worship is a lifestyle, as we've said this morning already, that it doesn't just stay here in this building. It has to go out to the world. It has to be private before it should be public, in a sense, for us to be very effective as worshipers. It also was brought up about including children. And it's my joy that we have children involved in worship and the drums that they can play and the different things that we allow them to do in worship. When they come up on the stage to play with me on the conga drums, I don't say, oh, no, this is very expensive equipment. If they break the conga drums because they are worshiping God, who gives a rip about the conga drums? And so I love that. It's not a bother to me. So if you see a child running up there and jumping on the stage and have always wondered, does Pastor Bill really like that? Or is he just kind of trying to satisfy someone? I love it. I love it. I love it when the children are part of the worship and they want to engage with me or with any of you in that process. That's awesome. Now, that also leads to a bit of chaos. Some people walk in here and see children running around and, during worship, or they grab a flag and then they throw it down, or they, maybe try to hit somebody. We know all that's going to happen. Okay? We just have to tell them it's not worship to beat somebody over the head. The Lord has to correct us. We try to help them. But if we didn't have that, I would think, we're not allowing them to learn, to grow up in an atmosphere of worship, to learn what pleases the Lord, just like we're learning what pleases the Lord. And, for them to sing their songs up here, play their instruments, you've seen that. They already have a new song. that they're presenting to the Lord at their ages. Come on. I didn't grow up with that. It was a choir and specials. That's it. No Ghana drums. Can't believe it they didn't have it when I was growing up. And I love this. I love this. I want it to increase. I want us not to let it get old and be old news. Because I'm telling you, some people walk in here and they're like, oh, wow. Even though we know we can go higher. And we know there's new things that he wants us to do in worship. Jim mentioned the new wineskins. That was another thing that was brought up at the meeting. If you pour new wine into old wineskins, what happens? So we can have the new wine of worship, but if we don't have new wineskins to receive it, so we need to change some things in ourselves, like the private worship during the week before we get here, like coming in on time in order to support the worship team that's wanting to raise up worship. There's a reason that there were groups in front, on the front lines, before the front, you know, front of the front lines. There was a reason there was a group. It's not supposed to be like two people. It's supposed to be a whole group. And so the more that we think of it, that we are all on the worship team, as was said, we lead ourselves into worship. We lead ourselves into worship. Well, I've heard this song 55 times. I don't know of one time that we've done a song the same way in the entire time that I've been part of Frontline. I'm just beginning. So, I don't know what to say with that. Tongue-tied. So, I want us to continue to be on the journey. Not take a pause in all of this because we're used to what happens on Sunday morning. Because if we worship privately, we'll get here and we'll see with new eyes the new song that's being released. When the message is given, which is part of worship, we'll have new ears to hear that message because we've prepared our hearts during the week. It's not just prepare your hearts now, we're going to have worship. Prepare your hearts now. It's the message. We'll already be prepared by the Lord to receive what he's releasing. And we'll have more support for the person releasing it. Just will, because our hearts will be in a better place. So, Acts 16:25 through 28. Now I'm going to give you a passage to look up. Acts 16:25 through 28. Hey, worship people who write songs, we need a song on the new wine in the new wineskin. It could be a real fun one, especially for the kids. Okay, I'll do that. Thank you. Thank you, Bill. Okay, I'll do that, Lord. Okay. 16. I need to get to the right place. 16. 25 through 28. You can read it while I'm looking. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. They're in prison, jail. Would that be the first thing you'd think about doing? Hopefully. Hopefully for me. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, Do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Worship caused an earthquake, along with prayer. And of course, they go together. None of these are compartmentalized. Worship is everything we do. Prayer is part of that. There's no compartments. It all flows one into the other. Encounter flows into worship. Prayer is part of that, of course. Caused an earthquake. Worship caused an earthquake. And being led by the Holy Spirit, it prevented a suicide. It shook up the world. This guy was a jail keeper. Man, the worship shook the prison. The doors fly open. He's done. Why? Because he's supposed to be the keeper of these prisoners. They're all going to run. Fear sets in the world when we worship. And we have to rescue them. Paul had to rescue him from a suicide. Paul led his whole family to the Lord, unto the household. Part of it was worship. Incredible. Let's go to one more passage. 1 Samuel 16:14-23. I shouldn't say one more passage. It's what we're doing right now. First Samuel 16, 14 through 23. This one's fun. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servants said to him, "Surely a distressing spirit from God is troubling you. Let your master now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is a skillful player on the harp. And it shall be that he will play it with his hand when the distressing spirit from God is upon you, and you shall be well." That's a prophetic word. You're going to find somebody that's going to help you with this problem. And it's a worshiper. So Saul said to his servants, "Provide me now a man who can play well and bring him to me." He is king. He can say that stuff. Then one of the servants answered and said, "Look, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite who is skillful in playing, a mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and a handsome person. And the Lord is with him." If I could stop there for a moment. Worship people on the worship team already know that's not all they do in the church, so to speak. The Church of Christ at large. I know situations of worship team, that's what they do. That's it. They don't go out on First Friday. They don't go overseas. It's dangerous. They don't serve in the church, clean toilets. They don't go out, do things other than be worship leaders or worship team members, because that's their job. That's what I do. That will never happen here. So if you're looking forward to a day that you are a paid worship person on the worship team, and that's all you do, it ain't gonna happen. Because that is not anywhere in the Bible. Listen to David's description again. Skillful in playing, a mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech, and a handsome person, and the Lord is with him. He had other things he was doing. Oh, a warrior. David was captain of the army, so to speak. Defeated Goliath on the battlefield. Was in many battles. Did so many things beyond being a worshiper. Therefore, Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, "Send me your son David, who is with the sheep." And Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread and a skin of wine and a young goat and sent them by his son David to Saul. So David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. Now, wait a minute, he hasn't played a string. He could sense it. He had distressing spirits, and I think they were agitated because here's a worshiper. Here's a worshiper. Uh-oh. They were agitated within Saul. Then Saul sent to Jesse saying, "Please let David stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight." So it was, whenever the Spirit from God was upon Saul, that David would take a harp and play it with his hand. Then Saul would become refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit would depart from him. Now, wait a minute. God sent this distressing spirit because to Saul, because the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. And now David, through worship of God, is allowed and also is able to be an instrument to release a distressing spirit, an evil spirit, a demon from Saul. Wow. So God is allowing those with open doors, those that are unbelievers and so on, to be under the curse of distressing spirits. But with our worship, we can release them. And because we're empowered by the Holy Spirit all the time, it just came upon David and left. But we have a new covenant where the Holy Spirit is on us, in us, all the time. We can release the distressing spirits from people through worship, and it can be impactful. Extremely impactful. Now, again, that worship is not just singing over them or playing an instrument to them, for them. But it's our life in Jesus, our life led by the Holy Spirit, our life anointed by God, praying for them, speaking words into their life, all the various things that we can do to help a person, praying for healing over them. And they can be released from distressing spirits. So one of the reasons I'm making a call that people show up on time for worship in this season and forevermore is because there are more and more, whether you see it or not, there are those trickling in that need our attention, that need our help, that need our prayer, that need our worship, that need your worship, your prayer. It's not bringing them up and introducing them to Pastor Mary Pat or myself so they can be released of distressing spirits. It's your impact. Take the responsibility to be a worshiper when they walk through the door. When a new person comes, you can be here to greet them, to be God's representative to them. Maybe they're the first face you see. It's not just to have more people in the seats. It's to minister to the people that come through the door. They may only come through once. You know that that happens, especially Tuesday nights. People will come once, and that may be your opportunity to be a minister to them. It's part of your new ministry. If you haven't considered that before. Oh, well, we have greeters, and we have this, and we have those other people, and Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat, you know, they're typically there, unless they're engaged somewhere else. They'll handle that. Don't let that attitude arise, because they need the person that Holy Spirit decides to minister to them. And if that's you, if you're the one chosen, you miss an opportunity, they miss an opportunity. Oh, someone else will probably greet them. Someone else will probably ask a few questions to see if there's anything that we can do to bless them. But why not you be the one? If you're on the front line, why not you be the person? So it would really be cool if someone walked through the door out there on a Tuesday night and about 10 people ran to the door. Welcome, welcome. Man, it's good to see you. What's your name? My name is, 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 my name is. Do you know you're valuable? We're glad you're here. Usher them in. Makes an impact in people's lives. I'm being a little facetious, but it would be kind of fun to see what the person's reaction would be. We should video it and put it on Facebook or some other thing. So we mentioned worship is a lifestyle. There are verses in the Bible. I won't go through those for sake of time. Psalm 34, 1 and 2, Psalm 41 through 3. They talk about much more than just singing and playing instruments as far as our worship to God. So you may want to take note when you run across the passage. Oh, this is about worship, but it's about lifestyle worship. It's not just about worship from the front or worship of singing and playing instruments. I wanted you to get real scholarly today, so I have some Greek worship words, and we're not going to necessarily go through these except for two. But this is really fun to see how many Greek words are referring to worship in the Bible. Ah, yes, please. Thank you. So we're going to go to page 2 and just look at two passages real quick. Ephesians 5:19, it's under the ode. Maybe you've heard that term before at least. An ode is a chant, a song. Ephesians 5:19. Come, come. Well, you can go to 18. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. It's good to be filled with the Spirit when we're speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So we have places to explore and worship yet, don't we? What will it really mean to this body to be speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord? You know, someone says, so how'd your week go? My week was a blessing from the Lord. Favor poured over my head in abundance. My week was a blessing from the Lord. I bow before his presence. How was your week? Wouldn't that be awesome? Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Both of those passages, by the way, precede a verse that says, wives, submit to your own husbands, or something to that effect. Pretty interesting. Oh, okay, got off topic. All right, so teaching richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So it says it twice, so what's that mean? Usually it means it's important. Of course, the whole Bible is important, but it mentions it twice. And so, something to consider. How does that work itself out? Teaching, even. Admonishing. Like exhorting. Let's go. Let's go to the front lines. Let's get there. Only sing it. Give a psalm. Let's charge forward to the front of the line, you know. Can you imagine? Someone comes in the door. How was your week? Let's charge forward to the front of the line of worship, worship. Praise his name. We give glory to our God all day today. You know, wouldn't that be awesome? It'd be a little different than what we're used to. How was your week? Good. How was your week? Good. What's next week going to be like? Good. But we actually let the Lord fill us with his spirit, it says in the previous passage, and let something loose on someone. Woo! I can't wait to come through the door and see who's going to be the first one to release it over me.
Remember what we sang outside?
Yeah, exactly. We need to do that again in the spring. In the spring. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So you can have fun with that. There's actually two more Greek words that, I don't know, they missed them. One is called shear. It's spelled S-H-I-Y-R. The masculine form is shear. The feminine form is much better. Shira. Shira. Song or singing. And then there's one that people do their names. I guess it's a name that people are using now. And I heard about it at our meeting on last Thursday. So I looked it up. Tahila. I call it Tahila, but they say it's Tahila. Tahila. And it means hymn or praise, song of praise. I think people are probably making the I an E and going, or no, making it Tahila or something like that for a name. So that's another Greek word. There's so many on the subject of worship. What's he trying to say to us? In Greek, English, Hebrew, we need to praise the Lord, as those passages said at the beginning. So, you can have fun with that sheet. And then before we end today, I did want to give you an opportunity to be a hilarious, worshipful giver as well. We have a couple of opportunities coming up. We can have someone pass these out, and we'll end with this. Got all kinds of helpers. A couple of opportunities, one in Brazil and one for the India trip. In Brazil, we are working on completing the renovation of the third building or house, however you want to look at it. I don't know what to really call it, but it's the third section that we've already purchased, and we're doing the remodeling, and we've had many in Frontline give to that project, and believe me, we thank you, because it means that we can go ahead and put up a second story in order for Bendisau, the pajama outreach ministry that Inez has told us about in Relentless Pursuit many times, to have the women up there from the favela to be making the pajamas, because right now they're made by another company. But her vision was always to have the pajamas made by the women in the favela, in City of God. And so we've already had money given to the second story. Two big gifts, one from here and one from Brazil, in order to put a second story across the three buildings or three sections that we have purchased. Now think of that. That's called acceleration. That's called crazy. Myself, didn't think it would happen quite this quickly, but God has decided it's time to move. The money has come in for taking care of the labor, which would be a lot because it's three sections, not one. Now, again, they're finishing up the third section. When that's complete, they plan to go up, and there'll be a stairway in order to get up there, of course, and Inez is excited. Two stairways. So Inez is excited that that possibility is almost reality. So what we need to take care of and see God take care of is $3,800 for the building materials. Now again, you can imagine that this is three plus a roof, over three sections plus put a roof over it all. And that will provide the space up there for Bendisau to begin having the women make the pajamas from the favela, employing women from the favela to make those. Now think of that. What that will do to that section of City of God. What that will mean. Right down from the drug line. Right down from where people are selling drugs. And Pastor Gerseo's, Casa de Jesus, part of his ministry is right across the alley. Incredible what that will do for that area. What the hope will be that increases, that people can actually, women can actually have a job in that section, rather than the other things that they could do. So that's one project. The other project is obviously we're going to India. It's our most expensive trip that we take. And so it takes a lot of finances in order to do that. We fly to 3 different sections. After we get to India, we fly to 2 other places, you know, because we fly into the city that we minister first, and then we go to Rajahmundry, and then we'll be going to Jaipur. So, and back to New Delhi to fly out. So there's 3 ministries we'll be working with primarily, but we have other ministries that we work with within those places. So ground transportation is a little bit difficult in India because they don't always have vehicles enough to fit our team. So we have to pay for a lot of ground transportation as well. We usually stay in hotels because of the safety factor. Some locations we might not, might be a little more frontier-like, like Mozambique. But primarily we stay in hotels because of the safety factor. There are radical Hindus and so on that don't particularly like Christians. And they burn churches and so on, so on, so on, so on. Never had a problem there, but we don't want to have any either. So each team member is asked to raise $3,100, which is a pretty hefty thing, especially if some of them are going not long after that to Mozambique. So we've talked to the team members, and the ones that we're asking you to particularly support for this need would be listed there, Brenda and Audrey. And there are other team members, of course. We have other team members. But these are the 2 we'd like you to consider sewing into. So what you could do is check off one of those names, if that's the way the Holy Spirit leads you, and give a gift into their trip this time. Or you can give general for the India mission. It will help fill in the other team members' holes and all these extra things that we do. We want to give away some funds to various pastors and contacts that we work with as the Holy Spirit leads as well. So it's a big undertaking. So we have 2 large projects here. Do you think God will meet them? Yes. Do you think God will meet them?
Yes.
And are you willing to do your part?
Yes.
That was a little weaker. Are you willing to do your part?
As
Holy Spirit leads you. That means you have to ask him. You ask him, and then he'll lead you. We're good with that. We've already, you know, there have been people that have said, you know, this is not the time for me. That's fine. Really, God gets it done anyway. But don't say it's not the time for me without asking Holy Spirit, just like for anything we do. So that's enough of that. Father, we thank you, God. We're blessed that you take care of all these needs. You purchased this building through a miracle, God, this land through a miracle. We do not have any debt on this land or building because of you. With this small group you provided, you took care of that big need back in 2012, God, by a prophetic word. And it was, God loves deadlines. We were given a deadline to purchase the building and the land, Lord, and you gave that word. When it was spoken out, the money came in before the deadline with 2 mission trips in between when the deadline was given and the land and building money was available to us. Incredible. And then you said, start remodeling before the deadline. How hard do you want to make it, Lord? And yet you met every need. You met every need. You met every need. Praise you, God. You are the giver. You are the giver, God. We've seen you give towards this project in Brazil. You're serious about it. Money came in before we announced it publicly, God. Thousands and thousands of dollars came in. to take care of the third section and the labor, which is extensive for the second story. God, you're serious. We're on holy ground, God. And we just say, what is my part? What do you want me to do? And Lord, you will show us. You will show us. And we want to worship you by obeying. Thank you, God. It's that simple. We thank you, God, that we can enter into worship more and more of you privately. God, all of us, every one of us can joyfully increase in that. It's not condemnation. We're not trying to bring condemnation to anyone. We're saying start again, or increase how you worship the Lord in private, and recognize whether you're bringing glory to God by what comes out of your mouth and what comes out of your life. And when you don't, repent quickly that you can be released into more worship. Worship in your car. Jesus, help us worship in our car. Help us worship at home. Help us worship in basements. Help us worship on first floors. Help us worship on second floors. Help us worship on third floors if we have them, God. Every floor. God, help us worship in Walmart and Kmart. Help us worship at the bank as we're going through the drive-thru, because most of us don't go in anymore. Jesus, help us worship. Worship at good eating establishments like Aladdin's father. Jesus, stay away from some of those other. Anyway, Father, we bless you, Jesus, that you're able to receive our worship, and then you bless us with it. You deserve the honor. You deserve the praise, and yet you change our lives through it. And you will help us minister to people as we're increasing as a worshiper, that distressing spirits will leave them through our worship, our prayer. God, we thank you. We have nothing but good ground to step into, God. We pray that the new wine that's coming through the worship released here, or released from your spirit into our lives in private, God, would have a new wineskin that can hold that worship without breaking. And then it can just flow over the top. It doesn't break out the sides because we weren't ready for it. It'll flow over the top into other people's lives. Thank you, Jesus. We love that about you. You're so good to us. You're so good to us. Bless your people, God. Lead them into worship, Lord. Worship, worship as your children, God. We're all just little children, Lord. Being led by the Father, led by the Father into your heart, into your heart. Jesus, Jesus, receive our worship. Jesus, Jesus, see our heart. Jesus, Jesus, receive our worship. Jesus, Jesus, see our heart. Let us come into your presence. Let us be held by the Father. Open arms are there to receive us, held by the Father. Speaking love over us, love over us. Empowering us, God, by your spirit, by your love. Jesus, Jesus, Holy Savior. Jesus, Jesus, Anointed One. Jesus, Jesus, Holy Savior. Jesus, Jesus, anointed one, let us bow before you, worship and adore you, bow before you, worship and adore you, we'll bow before you, worship and adore you, Jesus, Jesus, Holy One, Jesus, Jesus, Holy One, bless you, God's own Son, Amen, Amen. Amen. Selah, Selah, Selah. Shingin ma ma ye ye ye. Guru 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 ba 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 ye ye ye. Shini ni ni ni. Kanan ma ye ye. Shukudu guru guru go. Jesus. Jesus.
He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. Just remember that. One time, just as a quick testimony, to encourage you to step out in boldness, it's kind of weird, but it happened. And Pastor Bill and I were flying somewhere, I don't even remember the country, honestly. It wasn't India or any of the ones we typically go to, but it was over in the Middle East. Somewhere. And when we got on the plane, it was a Muslim plane. We were only people on that plane who didn't appear to be. And it was so chaotic. It was crazy. Every child in the place was crying. People were arguing. It was really bad. And we looked at each other, remember? Like, oh my gosh. And I did something. There was a spirit of boldness that came on me because I don't do this. I don't just stand up and do these things. I stood up. I didn't say a word. And I started singing at the top of my lungs the gospel. I sang the gospel. Most of them didn't speak English anyway, so we were okay. Or we hoped. I was like, oh no, are we going down? I don't know. But that's what he told me to do. Sang out the gospel at the top of my lungs, and the whole place got quiet. No more crying kids, no more fighting, no more arguing. And then I sat down, and that was it. What do you do with that? What's that? Yes, the flight attendant on the way out grabbed me, and she said, thank you so much for doing that. We've never seen that before. I was on the way out, but she didn't do it during the flight. It was like, oh. But the gospel of the kingdom is so strong and powerful. So if you believe it, the Lord will give you an idea. Because I didn't go on the plane thinking that. I wasn't thinking, how can I shut these people up? It was just, you know, came upon me, and I did that. And I'm not the one up there. It wasn't Pastor Bill doing it. It was me. So you can do that. Not just ask the Lord. But it worked, you know. It worked, and it was like we had a happy flight all the way back. Kids were happy. They were staring at me like, you know, who is that woman? I'll take coffee, please. You know, it's just crazy. But anyway, I had forgotten about that testimony. But when you were talking about just step out and do it, it's like, well, we've done that. So let me just give you an example. So if that idea comes to you, he's telling you, okay? Because when we were in Brazil, you're going to see a testimony of this. About, I was like 4 or 5 years ago, in one of the churches that we go to, Hedjamitos, I was giving a testimony about a creative miracle that I got to be part of. And Jesus was forming a new eyeball, and this little girl could see. And it was like unbelievable, except we didn't know he was forming the new eyeball. This one, we didn't see the new eyeball being formed. That's even crazier. So she can see before the new eyeball is formed. I know that sounds ridiculous. So we said to her, come in the morning and tell us again. So Carl was standing behind me when this miracle took place, and the rest of the team had gone back to the church because it was after hours, you know, you just pray and keep going. Honestly. And when I came upon her, I had just prayed for a blind boy right before that. Oh, you know, the easy kind. There's an eyeball. He can't see, but let's pray. That's a lot easier than a creative miracle where there's no eyeball, you would think. But if your mind is on the Lord, you can do anything. So I asked the Lord, and I said, what do you want me to do with that one? And he said, that's not any different. Just pray for her to see. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. So we invited her back in the morning so we could have the video camera there, get her testimony, you know, just in case somebody told her, she's got two fingers up, she's got three, and you don't know their language, you know, trying to be accurate so people have a good testimony and everything. So we said, be here at 8 o'clock. And it wasn't like a big announcement. She's coming at 8 o'clock. And so you know who comes with her? During the same crusade, this is in Mozambique, there was a young man, I don't remember his age or anything, and he was touched by the power of God too. And he was a deaf mute. Prayed for him, and he could hear, he could speak. He said, Jesus! Like, oh, yes! We've seen that since and before, but it's just never, it never gets old, right? So we didn't invite him. Just the girl with the eye. So she comes the next day at 8 o'clock, and our team's out there going, she gonna come? Oh my gosh, what's happened? Could she see during the night? It was just, you know, God, come on. And we have this on video. So anyway, she came with her father. So we're talking to her dad, and we said, is it true? Mm-hmm. She really can see? Yes, she can see. I mean, you tested her and talked to her and you were with her all night. You know the questions, they go on and on. Yes, yes, and yes. And the former deaf mute comes over and he joins us. I have no idea where he came from. Just came out of the woodwork somewhere or a village hut, you know. And it's like, this is like perfect. God, only you could do this. So we have both of them on testimony. And so we tested her again. And I am telling you the truth. There's still no eyeball. You're in there going, I don't get this at all. And I'm sure it formed after we left. There was a pulpy mass at the bottom from this eye that had disintegrated. She was 14 years old. So I was giving. And so anyway, we tested her. You know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 hands, fingers. So yeah, sorry. Fingers. So I was sharing this testimony, and we might have shown the video, I don't remember, three, four, five years ago in Brazil at another church. So when we were in Brazil this time, one of the people that took that testimony seriously, and I'm telling you this because what I'm telling you about standing up in the plane and doing something crazy, listen and receive it for yourself or anything else. And so when I was sharing, when I was preaching at this church this past January, Hedjimidos, he comes up to me and he said, I just wanted to tell you that I saw a little girl who had cerebral palsy and she couldn't walk. And I thought, God, I don't know what to do. I've never done this before. And do you know what God did? Because he received the testimony, he put it in his heart, in his mind. And he said, remember what I said. He goes, if she can do that, in Jesus' name, I can do this. I am so serious. He prayed for her, completely, totally able to talk, able to walk, took the braces off, and that's carried then. That's pretty cool, right? So, praise the Lord. Just wanted to encourage you with that at the end, because these are real testimonies. And he gave us his testimony, all in Portuguese, so Inez has to translate it. But be blessed with that. Step out in boldness and courage this week after this beautiful message, because there's a lot. Let the Lord unpack you in this and think about every situation you're in. You know, I think of Kim with what she's doing in hospice. Who knows what the heck could happen? You start singing over your people. Maybe you're already doing it, you know? But all of us, don't think, well, that's Kim, or that's, or that's, or that's. So really take it seriously. If you fear the Lord, he'll fulfill the desires of your heart. It's that simple, because he's that big. Amen. And I wanted to tell you that Justin and Lawrence are coming with us to India as well. Yes. And, of course, Audrey and Brenda. Sorry. And if I could meet with you guys for just a few minutes over here so that I could talk to you face to face. It's been such a wild getting together of this team. So we could just talk a little bit about what's going to happen, okay? God bless you guys.